Well, good morning and Merry Christmas once again. It is Christmas Sunday 2021, and in just six short days, we're going to be celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. I pray that we are ready for what this day is all about, what it really means. And this year, more than ever, I think we need to refocus ourselves and our attention on what the true meaning of Christmas is all about. You know, when we started this Christmas series 3 weeks ago, I said that Christmas really wasn't about the gift, but it was more about the promise that God was fulfilling. God was fulfilling a promise that He started and that He made all the way back in the book of Genesis. And that promise of God is radical love. Out of all the promises that God has given us, and remember, there are 7,147 promises that God makes in the Scripture. Out of all of those promises, He comes through on each and every one of them, and they are all rooted in His love. That's where all the promises of God comes from. It comes from His heart. It comes from His love. And we talked about the love of God. And we must understand that the love of God is way different than the love that we have. Well, what do you mean by that, Scott? God's love is everlasting. It is radical. And it is transcending. Where our love can be finite, it can be conservative, and at times our love can be pretty superficial. God always keeps His, He always keeps His promises, and we can fall short on ours. What is the promise that God wants us to draw near to? What does He want us to pull close to this Christmas Sunday? And that is God's radical love should drive us to knowledge. God's radical love should drive us to knowledge. You know, in our final Advent reading this morning, we heard the visit of the Magi that is associated with the Christmas story. What kind of lessons can we learn from the Magi? These men were completely and totally sold out. Their dedication to find out what God had done, it fueled them. And it fueled their desire to go and to find out exactly what God's promises really meant. They wanted to see with their own eyes and know that the wisdom of God Almighty, who created all the heavens and the earth, they were willing to risk life and limb. They were willing to lose their fortune. They were willing to lose their status in this world to go and lay eyes on the Jewish king in a small town of Bethlehem. They wanted to see the one born king of the Jews. And they risk everything to make that happen. Many times we can read the Christmas story, we can listen and sing the Christmas carols, we can get caught up in the season of Christmas, and we can totally miss what God's trying to do. We can come and we can do our very best to make the holiday season special for all of those around us. I listened to Dad and I listened to Jan this morning and I thought, boy, you put those two communion meditations together and you've got my message today. We can get so lost in doing the Christmas things that we miss the entire point of it all. We miss who it's all about. Let's learn a lesson from the Magi this year. What's the lesson that they're trying to teach us? Maybe we need to sell everything out just like they did all those years ago. Not think about what it costs me, what I'm going to get out of it, but oh man, come and have a life-changing, transcending encounter with the living God and His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what He wants from us this Christmas. Come and experience something that you maybe have never experienced before, an encounter with Jesus, because, oh my gosh, that will change you forever. It will change you forever, just like it changed those magi that night that they had that encounter with Jesus. What would happen if we were allowed, if we allowed Jesus to take his rightful place in our life? What would happen in our lives personally? What would happen in our families? What would happen in our world if Jesus had his rightful place right where he belongs? We would see some pretty amazing things happen. We would see a world that is so different than what we see right now. But guess what? If we want to see that happen, it starts right here in his church. It starts right here in his church. And today we're going to be talking about something that maybe be a little different for a Christmas message. But I think that it is so important that we go here today. We're going to be looking at the book of Ephesians, and Ephesians 4, 1 through 16 is where we're going to be today as we look at the radical love of Jesus Christ, the radical love that God has for us. And I want to start by reading verses 1 through 3 as we get started here today. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. I don't want to step on any toes this morning. And I say that, but I mean it. I really don't want to step on toes. Yes, I do. I want to step on some toes this morning. Sometimes we need to have our toes stepped on, right? Sometimes we need to have our toes stepped on. It's a wake-up call. Let me ask you a question. When you look at your life today, are you living a life worthy of the calling of Jesus Christ? Am I living a life that is worthy of Jesus? Man. That's a light subject matter for Christmas Sunday, isn't it? But it's very valid and true. We need to look at our lives and ask those questions and seek the answers. God, am I living a life that is worthy of the calling that I have in you? What is the calling that we have in God? What is the calling that he's calling us to? He's calling us to be a part of his family. Right, Jan? We are children of God if we have faith in Jesus Christ. He is calling us to live a life worthy to be his child. And am I living that life? What kind of a life does that look like? I'm so thankful that Paul continues and he shows us exactly what that life is to look like. In verses 2 and 3, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. I love the heart of Christmas. I love the heart of Christmas that is on display during this time of year. It's on display this time of year more than any other time. It really is. Many people will say that it's their favorite time of the year. It may not be their favorite time of the year because of all the decorations that we put out, the dinners that we plan, the gifts that are exchanged. Many times we get together with our families. All of those things, they are a lot of work. It takes a lot of work to do those things. But why do we do it each and every year? Why do we continue to do it each and every year if it's that much work that goes into it? Well, there are many reasons that we do that. But I love this time of year because it is a central time of year where we can get together and we focus, should focus on one thing, and that's Jesus. We should focus upon him. All the other stuff is secondary. It's great. I mean, I love the decorations. I mean, the church looks absolutely fantastic this time of year. It takes a lot of work to get those decorations out and to get them looking nice. It takes a lot of work to plan for dinners and get-togethers and things like that. But we do it because we love our families and getting together with them. But we should love our families enough to get together with them, to share Christ with them. He should be the central reason for it. And because he should be the, or because he is the central reason for it, it creates this atmosphere in this time of year where we can share our love with people and to share Jesus with them. But we have got to be humble. We've got to be gentle. We have to allow our patience to grow and expand in our lives so that we're patient with other people. Perhaps love like no other time of year. It's easier to do it this time of year, isn't it? It gives us perspective on how much God cares for us and how he wants to give us that promise of peace. He wants to give us that promise of peace. But it can only be found if we have faith in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, that's it. Now I want to continue this morning and let's read verses 4 through 8. Paul says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when at your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Now the grace was given to each of us just according to the measure of Christ's gift. For it is said, when he ascended on high, he took captives. He took captives captive and gave gifts to people." The reason why we celebrate Christmas, God's promises are trustworthy and true. We've discussed that in length during this Christmas season. And in these verses, God gives us a reason why we should celebrate Christmas. Do not miss the reason that we celebrate. It's not just Christ's birthday. That's not just the reason why we celebrate. Or time to remember the miraculous birth of our Lord. Those are really secondary reasons why we celebrate Christmas. But in these verses, Paul explains why we should be living a life worthy of the calling that we have. And it is because God's promise that he has given us is that we can be centralized. We can be unified together under one head. We can be unified together under one head. We don't have to go looking for anything else. It can all be found in Jesus Christ alone. That's it. We don't have to go looking for other people and looking for other things. I think that God sometimes gets so disappointed and angry at us because we cannot find the ability to be unified together as the church. I wonder about that sometimes. I look around our country and I go, God, how in the world did all of this happen? How in the world did all of this happen? Why do we have so many churches? Is there really a need for all of these churches to be around? What happens? People get upset with one another. We get in fights over petty little things. I'm not going to go there anymore. People start their own church. And I wonder, does God look at that and go, man, that is so wrong, and he gets so disappointed? We have got to stop being so divided. We have to stop being so divided. Because Paul writes here, it is pretty stinking simple. It is so easy. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Where do we find unity in the church? It is right there. One man, Jesus Christ. He is it. He is the standard. He is perfect. Everything else is all petty stuff. We can disagree on eschatology and end time thought. We can disagree on the use of spiritual gifts. We can disagree on what music is best to be used for worship. We can disagree on the use of technology. All of those things are secondary. But the body of Christ, we've got to agree on that. We have to agree on the body of Christ. And all of those things that Paul lists, they are non-negotiable. We do not negotiate on those things. Because they are, that's Christianity 101. Often we think that God gives gifts at Christmas time, right? That He give us Jesus at Christmas. But it wasn't until Easter that we really received the gift that God had promised, eternal life. When Jesus rose from the grave and ascended into heaven 40 days later, that is when the gift really started for us. Yet what did we receive at Christmas? The promise had finally come. And when that happened, when the promise finally came, that very first Christmas, guess what happened? The gates of the kingdom of heaven were opened. They were opened and ready for all of those who were going to put their faith in Christ to come. Come and enter in. That is something to get really, really excited about. That is something that we cherish. Let's go ahead and we'll read the rest of this, verses 9 through 16. But what does "he ascended" mean except that he also descended to the lower parts of the earth? The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens to fill all things. And he himself gives some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in the faith and in the kingdom of God's Son, growing into maturity with the statures of measured by Christ's fullness. Then we will no longer be children tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching by human cunning with cleverness in the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, let us grow in every way into Him who is the head, Christ. For Him, the whole body, fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament, promotes the growth of the body for the building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. Many times I wonder if we fully understand the importance of what Jesus did as coming as Emmanuel. You know, there are many points of views that we could begin to answer this question, the importance of Jesus' coming. But I want us to consider something here today. It's not the why He came, but what He was coming to accomplish. We don't need to look at the why He came. We need to look at what He done when he came and what was it He was accomplishing. That's the perspective we need to look at it. Jesus was proving that He was the one and only Son of God by His birth. It was a miraculous birth. And He come with power and authority. And that sustains and holds everything together that we see right now. He descended into the lower regions of the earth to fill up the entire universe when He went to that cross and He conquered death. When He ascended into heaven again, He ascended high above the heavens. And He holds all things together because He loves us. He loves us. And that is so important for us to remember. And He came to do all of that so that we could become mature followers of Jesus Christ. He came to do all of that so that we're not small children who don't know, who don't have the wisdom. He doesn't want us to stay there. He wants us to grow up in our spiritual maturity. With the amazing promises God gives us, are we ready to do something with those gifts that He's given us? That's our challenge here this Christmas season. Are we willing to take what He has given us, this very special gift of eternal life, are we willing to take that and to put it to practice? Will God use us? Will He use you to impact His kingdom this Christmas season? That feels kind of heavy, doesn't it? It's a lot of responsibility. But guess what? He chose you to carry it. He chose you to carry that responsibility. He chose me to carry that responsibility. Will we carry it and go and do something with it? God has fulfilled the greatest promise when He gave us His Son by that virgin birth. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He died a sacrificial death on the cross of Calvary to pay for the sin debt that we owe God. He done all of that, and all who put their faith in Him by that atoning sacrifice, we have eternal life. That is Christianity 101. And He has an expectation of us. We have a greater expectation than any other people on the face of the earth because we've put our faith in Him. What is the expectation that God has for us? Don't waste your time. Don't waste the gift that I've given you. Use it. Use it. And you will be blessed because you do. Why is Christian maturity so important? Why is it so important that we grow in our faith? Because if we do not grow in our faith, guess what? We can easily be led astray by those who are not from us. Many of the apostles talk about this in Scripture. They say that there are going to be teachers that are going to come from inside the church that are going to lead people astray. And if we are not biblically mature, if we are not spiritually mature, we cannot see what is right and what is wrong. And they'll lead you astray, trust me. They'll take us here and there, make us believe all kinds of crazy things. We've got to pay attention and know what the Scripture has to say, because if we don't know what it has to say, how can we tell what's right and what's wrong? He wants us to be spiritually mature so that we're not blown here and there by every teaching that comes. We've got to be ready. And with this truth, how do we deal with the issues we face today? Because we face a lot of issues, don't we? There are a lot of things that are out there that are really messed up. How do we face them? You know, we can't have simple solutions for such muddied waters that have got harsh words that have been said, feelings that have been hurt, poor decisions that have been made, lies that have been told, false teachings that have led so many people down the wrong direction, and a host of other things. How do we correct that? We correct it with God's love. That cannot be moved. It cannot be destroyed. It cannot have anything else done to it. God simply loves you. God simply loves you. And He wants to transform us into the greatest image the world has ever known. He wants to transform us into the image of His one and only Son. And that should make us get really excited, because He who began a good work in you, He promises that He will carry it on to completion until the day of the Lord Jesus. God says, if I've started a work in you, I promise I am not going to stop until it is done. And guess what? We get to be a part of that work. We get to be a part of that work. That's what being part of God's family is all about. We get to be a part of it. Why? Because God's love, Jesus' love, it should compel us to grow in our faith and go deeper with Him every chance we get. One of the greatest blessings that we have living in our country today is that we have so many resources that can help us to grow. We have got, how many people here have got a Bible at home? How many people here have two Bibles at home? Three? Four? We have so many resources to open up His Word and to see what it's all about. I was talking to someone this morning. I'm like, whenever I pick God's Word up and I begin to read it, I don't look at it as a history lesson or a love letter or something like that. I look at it as God is speaking to me personally through His Word. Scott, are you living a life worthy of the calling that I have given on you? It gets personal. And when we allow it to become personal, oh man, will He move us in ways that I can't even begin to explain. He will move us. How are we going to listen to that still small voice? We've got to get quiet and allow Him to speak in and through His Word. That is the greatest way He speaks to us today, is through His Word. How will I know that it's God speaking? How will I know that it's God speaking and not someone else? As we read His Word and we allow the Holy Spirit to move us and to lead us, God will say to you exactly what He wants to. We just have to be willing to listen. But it's not just listening. It's listening to push us to action. It's not something that we just hear. God never wants us just to hear it. He wants us to live it. Take what He teaches you and live it, and go and do something with it, and allow Him to move. Let's go deeper in love with Christ this coming year. The end of the year is going to be upon us. Christmas is going to be upon us here in just a few days. I invite all of you to come back to our Christmas candlelight service. Invite your family and friends to come to the candlelight service. It is one of the greatest services that we do all year. It is really special. It's a really good time to be here. It's at 10 o'clock this coming Christmas Eve on Friday. I invite y'all to come to that. It's one of my favorite services the entire year. Invite your family and friends to come. I hope you all have a Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we love You and we thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. Father, we thank you for filling that promise of Emmanuel coming that first Christmas. Father, we give You thanks and praise for that, and we pray that as we remember what this season is all about, as we remember who it's all about and what it is all for, I pray, Father, that You would bless us immensely. Father, we love You and we thank You. We give You thanks and praise today. In Jesus' sweet name, amen.